Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And just hold your place there around verse 20 for a few moments. I have a word for you today that I believe is very relevant and very pertinent to the hour in which we're living. But it's not just that. It's across the board. It has to do with even the very simplicity of our salvation and what God has done for Jesus Christ and how he saves us, as well as how we face difficulties in this life. In Acts chapter 27, we're going to revisit a scripture that I've preached on a number of times, and many pastors in the last few years have preached on this famous shipwreck of Paul and the time in the storm in the context of the last days, in the context of the current events of our day. And there's only an element of that that I want to go through today. I want to bring out something that the Lord was ministering to my heart that's a little different from what I've seen before in this scripture. And I want to begin this morning by talking to you about just the way we live, the way we exist in Christ. When you came to the Lord, and it was a simple act of coming in faith and trusting Jesus as your Savior, right? But wasn't it a declaration? Wasn't it a declaration that I can't save myself? It was a declaration that I need a Savior. It was a declaration that he is greater and he is the only one who is able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in my life.
Amen.
In order to see me through.
Amen.
In order to redeem me.
Yes.
In order to wash away my sin.
Amen.
And isn't the very heartbeat, even though many times this is avoided, and even though many times this isn't brought out perhaps as much as it should be, but isn't the very heartbeat of our walk with the Lord that very thought carries us all the way through? You've heard me quote Jesus' words many times, I can do nothing apart from you. I can do nothing apart from Christ. And we are given those words by the Lord himself. And he literally means nothing.
Amen.
I can do nothing apart from the strength, the power, and the anointing that the Lord gives when I begin to walk with the Lord and I begin to live in him. And the walk that we have with the Lord is a cutting away. We know that it's a cutting away of the things of the flesh, don't we? And many of us focus on that as we should, that we are giving things to the Lord, we are declaring, Lord, I can't change myself. I need you to help me with this stinking old flesh nature, and I need you to change me from the inside out. But I agree with you, Lord, and I, to the best of my ability, I cut this thing out of my life, and I cut this away, and I cut that away. Things that are detrimental, things that are contrary to his law and his word, things that are going to damage our testimony, we ask the Lord to help us to cut those things out, to do surgery on us, and remove those things from our lives. Amen?
Amen?
But many times we don't realize that there's a further step, and that is in understanding that we not only cut away those things of the flesh and those things that are sinful, but there are many good things. There are many things that are around us and that are part of our lives in this world that have to be cut away when we are depending on those things and not on the Lord. In other words, there are good things. There are things that are perfectly normal, perfectly right, that are not violations of the law of God. But the Word of God says that cursed is the man who trusts in the arm of strength or the arm of flesh, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And so God has given you an intellect, right?
Yes.
But if we trust in that intellect, then we fail to walk in the Spirit. We must learn not that the intellect in itself is wrong or that it's not to be used, but it's not to be used apart from dependence upon
Amen.
Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit doing that work within us. There are many, many things in our life that are good things that can be cultivated under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. But they are not to be trusted. They are not to be leaned upon. We lean upon the Lord in order to walk with him. So there's a picture here in this passage of Scripture. And it's a picture of three different aspects, beginning with just our personal salvation. When you came to Christ and you were born again, there's that picture of salvation in the storm that we're going to see. As they are saved from the storm, we find a picture of our salvation from sin and the old life coming into Christ. There's also a picture of life storms and salvation from life storms, the things that assail you as you walk through this life and as you walk with the Lord. And then there is one final superstorm. There's an end time storm that we find described for us in the Word of God. And many of us believe that we are heading into that storm. We're certainly nearer today than we were yesterday. Amen. Yes. There's a storm that is the mother of all storms, if you will. And there's salvation even to be found in and out of that storm as we are going through it. There's a saving that is to take place. We're saved from our sins and we're born again. We are saved by the mighty hand of God in life storms. And we are saved, kept by God in the storm that is to come. And I want us to see those in this morning. Let me just outline those very quickly again and add a little bit to each one. Number one, there is our salvation from sin, our personal salvation. And we are delivered not only from sin's past, in other words, from the guilt of sin. We have our sins washed away. I want to be sure that we understand you are all students of the Word, but I always want to not take for granted and go back. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No matter how long we've walked with the Lord, the gospel is still, it Amen. Is the heartbeat of
Yes.
who we are, Amen. What we're about. We celebrate the gospel and Amen. We lean upon the truth of that gospel every day in our life.
Hallelujah.
So there is salvation from sin. We're born again. But there's also salvation from sin's power, from its rule over us. God promised not only to forgive our sins, but to save us from the power of sin that keeps us enslaved. We are saved from satanic hold, from the power that Satan has over us when we come to the Lord. Satan no longer, I think we just sang the song, Break Every Chain. When we come to the Lord, we have the promise that every chain
yes.
can be broken
Amen.
And is broken
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ
Amen.
And by His power,
yes.
even demonic powers.
Yes.
We come to the Lord and we are set free from demonic powers, from things that have ingrained themselves in our lives. And many times we don't like to talk about demonic things for those who are already born again, but we're still harassed by demons.
Yes.
We're still harassed and tormented at times in our lives when we give an open door, when we give place to the enemy in our life. And there are things, I won't go into this morning, but we all know there are things that we must even renounce as we walk with the Lord, as He teaches us and shows us things. Satan will seek to keep a hold upon us, and God will have us renounce those doorways that have been opened in order that we might set free from things where we had given place to the enemy. I remember in my own life many years ago having to sit down and go through all of the occultic things that I had fed my mind upon for a season of my life. And the Lord, even though I had turned from those things, I wasn't involved in those things anymore. There was a time when the Lord was saying, you know, these things they're ingrained in your thought life and I want them removed. And I want you to renounce the Ouija board and renounce yes. these things. And I renounced all of those things. Mm-hmm. And they have no chain upon me. They have no hold upon me anymore. And so we have, you know, I wasn't going to go any further with that, but I'm on the neighborhood app for our neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, kind of keep up with concerns, things that are happening in the neighborhood. And I just want to weep when I see people's refusal to bow to the Lord and His truth in this generation. And I saw where someone said they were having basically poltergeist activity in their home. They go to bed at night. They posted this. They said, what do? I go to bed at night and during the night I hear noises in the walls. I get up in the morning and cabinets and drawers are open all over the house and things have been moved and fallen and all kinds of things, you know. And so there must have been 200 to 300 replies to that post, the most of any post that I've seen on there, from all throughout this part of the city, people responding, and almost everyone said, there are a few who mocked, and then the majority said, you need to cleanse your house with sage. You need to call in such and such person because they deal with departed spirits, ghosts, and all these different things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I don't usually do things like this, but I finally had read all I could take. And I posted and I said, I am just so grateful that as a child of God, as a son of God, that I have the power. Anyone who is a son of God or a daughter of God has the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And when you're walking with the Lord, if you're submitted to Him, if you use that name, submitted to Him in authority, take authority over those things in your house, you will never hear from them again and never see them again. And, you know, and I had maybe two or three people say, amen, brother, whatever. And then the list continued. Call someone who will cleanse your house with sage. Oh my gosh. Let's begin reading at verse 20. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Here is a picture. We've already gotten into the storm. I'm not reading the entire story, but the storm is fierce. It's a life-threatening event. The Apostle Paul has survived many things in his work for the Lord. And now as he is carried on this ship with other prisoners, and the storm is pounding on every side, he has a word from the Lord. And he begins to tell them about it. And in verse 21 through 20, did I read through 26? Let me see.
No, you didn't.
No.
Okay. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. So we have those who are crying out in this scene that we're looking at. We have those who are crying out to be saved. Crying out to be saved. We have a storm that's tossing them all over the place, and they fear for their lives. They fear that the boat is going to be broken apart in the wind and in the waves, and it's going to capsize. Paul stands up and he gives the word. I want us to begin this morning by seeing, here's a picture of a man of God. I want you to see this as something that is not just for an apostle, not just something to be looked upon and admired. Here's a pattern for a man of God in a dark time. Here's a pattern for a man of God who is in the midst of a storm. And there are other people around him who are filled with fear. Here's a pattern for the man or woman of God in this hour. Maybe you're in a storm today. And you can say, oh, yep, there's a storm that is pounding all around me right now, and I can't even tell anyone about it, perhaps. You're in a storm of many different things that it could be. It can be circumstances. It can be relationship issues. It can be all types of things that are you see as a storm that is breaking upon your life. You know that we are in a dark hour right now as we look around us in this world, and we don't focus on the darkness, we focus upon the light, and we are positive that our Lord will see us through. But as we look, we see that there are people that are filled with fear around us. Here's the man of God. He stands in the midst of this scene. He's been fasting. He's been separated unto God. In the midst of this storm, He has not been cowering. He has not been fearful. He's been on his knees asking God what can be done, what to do, what to believe for, what word to have for the people. And in the midst of the storm, separated unto the Lord gives him a word and says that you're going to come through this. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. But you must follow the word that the Lord gives. The Lord gives him a warning that he is to share with the men. And so he is, I want you to understand and see here that he's not overcome with fear. And here's a little principle for your life. Don't raise your hands. But how many of you here, or many of you watching by live stream, how many of you have ever felt that God truly gave you a word for something in your future? Yes. A word for something in your future. And truly, though Satan may have caused you to be tempted to doubt it at times, you've really believed that word. You've believed that it was something you were to stand upon. And then in the midst of life, you have a storm pounding upon you. You have something come upon you that threatens to destroy you. It may even be an issue with your health. Or it may be something that where you feel so threatened that you think, I'm going under. I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm not going to even make it as a Christian. I don't know how I'm going to stand in the midst of this storm. And you begin to be tempted to doubt. Here's Paul. And he is in a situation that is so fearful, but he has a word for God from God for his future. God has told him, you are going to be brought before Rome. You're going to be brought before the authorities. You're going to be brought to give an account and all of these different things. I'm not through with you. You need to understand this morning, God's not through with you. God's not through with you. And if you feel that God's given you a word, then no matter how the storm may seem right now, you should know that you're going to come through that storm clear because God has already promised you something on the other side. And it's something that you can cling to, that you can hold on to. We find that Peter was in the same position one time because he knew that the Lord had told him that he would live to an old age. And he would give his life for him. He would be martyred for him. But in all of the storms that happened through his life as an apostle and being persecuted and being thrown into jail, he never had to fear for his life because he knew that God's promised him to live to an old age. So what has God promised you? What are the promises of God? Even the promises that you feel that he's shown you in his word. Well, I need to move on. You need to just hold on to whatever promises God has given you, no matter how hard the storm is pounding right now. Paul was separated unto the Lord. He was not fearful, and he was standing in the midst of the storm, and he has a word for the people that were on the ship. The situation that they were in, the storm pounding upon them, everything that happened to them was because they had not listened to Paul's initial word from the Lord. He had already given them a warning and they had not heeded it. Now listen, for those of you who tend to get under condemnation, look at the grace of God in this situation. That even though they've not heeded the warning, even though they find themselves in a storm of their own making. Have you ever been in a storm of your own making?
Yes.
I have. If you've ever been in a storm of your own making, if you're in a storm of your own making right now, don't fall into the condemnation of the devil that wants you to believe that, well, I caused this, I'm not going to survive this, God's not helping me in this, I deserve this. No, there was grace.
Yes.
These were not even believers, most of the people on this ship. There was grace. There was intervention for them because there was a man of God standing there with a word from God. There was a man there who was standing in the midst. And God had promised that man, I'm going to get you to the place that I'm sending you. And so understand that God has grace even when we have caused the storm that we find ourselves in. And so here is the Lord's grace just displayed for us in this passage of scripture. Look at verses 27 through 29. Now when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land, and let's just continue. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors, and this is where I really want us to go and to begin to hone in. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall. I want you to understand what is happening here. The picture. These men, the sailors on the ship, they are fearful. They know how bad the situation is, and they're still not heeding the words of Paul. They know it's bad, and so they pretend that they're putting out anchors at the prow of the ship, but instead they are lowering a skiff, a lifeboat. And they're lowering this down, and they're going to get in it, and they're going to escape. They're going to abandon everybody else, basically. Paul knows what they're doing, and we see that Paul raises his voice and says, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now I want you to understand this morning, it wasn't just the soldiers this applied to. It just happened to be the sailors who were trying to escape, who were trying in their own strength to save their own lives, to make their own way of escape, and depending upon themselves, rather than the word that Paul was giving from God. But the word would have applied to all on the ship. No one was to leave the ship. Everyone had to stay in the ship, or there was no guarantee of safety, no guarantee of being saved. That's what the whole key word of this entire section is, that they're seeking to be saved. So they're trying to save their own lives, and they begin lowering this lifeboat into the water. And here we see the heart of God's truth for all three of the situations that I gave you in the beginning of this message. Your salvation, your current storm, and the storm that is to come. The first thing that I want to say concerning this is that there is a place of safety. There's a place of safety. It is also a place of obedience. In all storms, no matter what storm you're in right now, there is a place of safety. It is a place that must be accessed through obedience and through faith, but it is a place of safety, a place of salvation, and it doesn't matter what storm you're in, how incredibly intense the storm is, and how it's pounding upon your life. But we are tempted to doubt the security of that safe place. And don't say we're not. Our initial temptation is that we begin to doubt, is this really a safe place? This will make more sense as I go along. There's a safe place, but is it really safe? Because in the midst of my storm, I'm fearful, and my situation looks much larger than what I believe the Lord has said, and I begin to be fearful, I begin to look, and I begin to doubt the power of God, I begin to doubt the safety of the place that He has ordained for me. So there's the tendency of man in the midst of this to save himself. There's a tendency in your life and mine as believers to save ourselves. When God has said, put the knife to everything that is not of me, when God has said you can't depend on anything except me, when God has said you must come to a place of dependence upon me, when God has said if you will follow me, if you'll heed my words, and if you will come into the place that I've ordained for you, I will save you. I will keep you. Our tendency is to try to do it in our own strength, to fall back into depending upon the arm of flesh and doubt the security of the place. The place of safety, this word speaks of, I'm just calling this morning in Paul's words, it's in the ship. In the ship. Let that just be a phrase for that place that God has for you in the Spirit. In the ship is where God's called you to be. And you may seem like, boy, you're really striving for something in this, Pastor Martin. No, I'm coming to a head in a few moments where I believe God really wanted me to stress something to this congregation and those who are listening. I believe it's a present word. It's a proceeding word from the Lord. That the Lord is telling you today, stay in the ship. And I'll explain why. Stay in the ship. In the ship is the place of safety. If you try to save yourself, if you try to lower the lifeboat for yourself, you're not guaranteed a place of safety.
That's right.
Because you never were able to save yourself. When you came to the Lord to be born again, you couldn't save yourself. You can't save yourself in the midst of your current storm, and you can't save yourself in the storm that is to come. And so there's a threefold word, I believe, that the Lord has for us today. For me, for you, for us as a congregation, for us as individuals. And it concerns your salvation in these three areas that I mentioned again. So I want to go back through them. And when I come to the third one, this will be the very heartbeat of what I believe the Lord is saying concerning our time. Number one, in your personal salvation. Because even though you were saved once, He is constantly keeping you as you follow Him, as you listen to Him. You're being saved from yourself, saved from that old flesh nature every day as you put yourself under the hand of God, in the will of God, following the Word of God. I want to be sure that everyone in this congregation understands, I believe you all know it, just part of the cardinal orthodox faith that we have that's been handed down to us from the apostles. You are saved, and I'm going to ask you in a moment to repeat this with me. You are saved by faith alone in Christ alone.
Amen.
Not by faith alone in Christ, and not by faith in Christ alone. There's a reason that I'm saying this. You are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. You were saved by faith plus nothing in Christ and no one else. You were saved by faith, nothing you can add to it. No works will save you. You were saved by faith in Christ and with no help from anyone else. No priest, no preacher, no one else can save you. Christ alone can save you. He is able to save all who come to Him. You are saved. Say, I am saved by faith alone in Christ alone. That needs to be in your memory. I am saved by faith alone in Christ alone. When you came to Him, you acknowledged your own weakness and that He had done what could not be done on your behalf. And you depend on Him for salvation. When you come to church, and here's where you say, well, I learned that a long time ago. You had us repeat that many times through the years. But here's how sly the enemy of our soul is and how our flesh also fights against the Spirit within us, is that we find ourselves coming to church. When you come to church, what is the motive for coming to church? You say, well, of course I come because I worship the Lord. I love the Lord. But how many believers, if you were to look across the land today and you could see into every heart, how many believers come to this place where they're coming either because they're expected to, or people won't think they're a Christian, they're expected to come to church, or they think, well, if I don't come to church, then I'm not walking with God and I'm lost. They're coming to church because they think that, well, I want God to see that I can do something, and so I come and I earn some kind of points with God. I come to put my tithe in, and I certainly want God to know that I'm giving my tithe because I'm trying to buy some kind of favor with God. Plenty of Christians do these things.
Yeah.
It's not that because we're saved in, by faith alone in Christ alone that we then, that grace gives us license to sin or not come to church or any of those things. But you come to church because of love.
Amen.
Or you don't come.
Amen.
You come to church because you love the Lord and you love the people of God and you want to be there.
Yes.
Now, if your heart says, well, I don't, that's something for you to take up with the Lord, to ask Him to help you with and to change your heart, because any other motive for coming to church is a wrong motive.
Yes.
I come to church out of love. I serve Him out of love.
Amen.
I come, I give my tithe out of love.
Amen.
I come to church because I love the Lord. That is my motivation.
Amen.
And yes, I believe there's an element of obedience involved, but you don't obey the Lord in order to gain points with God. You obey the Lord because you love the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
If you obey the Lord simply because you think that you can't go to heaven if you don't obey Him, you've missed something. Because obedience is because your heart has been changed and you love the Lord. You're in a relationship with Him. You come because you love Him. Love motivates, listen to this, love motivates, faith saves.
Amen.
But love motivates, faith saves, and then God works the miracle. What miracle? Well, in this first personal salvation, it is a miracle that God saves you. When God transforms a human heart and changes it from a hard heart to a heart that loves God, even that love that causes you want to come, and even that love that motivates repentance, is a gift from God.
Amen.
And so this is the salvation that we're talking about. It is a free gift. It's not earned. But it is a love relationship that will result in obedience, will result in worshiping the Lord, loving God's people, wanting to be with God's people. I see people all the time. I'm not talking about here. I have seen it here before. But I see people in churches all the time that go, but they don't love to go. And they go, but they don't love God's people. Or else they wouldn't talk about them all week long. You see? And they wouldn't say, oh my gosh, so and so. You know, that's your brother. That's your sister. We love, that's the motivation. Faith is the key. And God does the miracle of changing our heart. We find it all the way through the Word of God illustrated for us. We find Noah called into the ark. What is that? The place of safety. Only in the place of safety. He worked, he was obedient, but he didn't do it for points with God. He did it in response. This was a man that God saw his heart was right. He had a right heart in his day. He was already a man who loved God.
Yes.
And God saw that heart that was right before him, chose him, so then he obeyed. He didn't obey because he thought God was going to whip him. He obeyed because he loved God and he believed Him. He obeyed and he built the ark, but it was God that sent the flood, not man. And it was God that shut the door on the ark that would protect them inside. And it was God that raised the ark above the waters of the flood. And it was God that kept them through that entire ordeal. There's a place of safety. But it's God who does the work, and we don't lean upon our own strength. Number two, the storms of life. The storms of life that you find yourself in. We find that God's principle is the same in these storms of life. I'll ask you again today, some of you find yourselves in a storm. Are you in a storm today? And it could be that no one in this room, maybe you're in a good place right now. But if you follow the Lord, you will find yourself from time to time in storms, because we're not promised that we will have an easy road. We're not promised no trouble. He's just promised to keep us
Amen.
In the midst of trouble. Do you find yourself in a storm? Is there some problem in relationships that is so great, such a terrible situation that it breaks your heart and it tears you to pieces and you don't really know how you're going to handle it? Is there a set of circumstances that have come into being in your life that threaten to just ruin you, to break you apart, and you don't know how you can stand? Maybe there's a financial situation that you feel, I don't know how I'm going to come out on the other side. Maybe there's a health issue and it threatens, it sends shivers of fear into your life, threatens to wreck you. Now, the first temptation is the lifeboat. In all of these storms, first temptation is to drop the lifeboat and get in. It's to find a way of escape. Sometimes we want to find a way of escape and just run and hide. Sometimes our escape is to fix it. And I think that probably more often than that, this is the situation. We find ourselves in a storm. How can I fix this? How can I fix this without it costing me too much, hurting me too much, damaging my reputation too much, causing me a loss of too much pride, making me have to eat crow or humble myself or to forgive someone I don't want to forgive? And I want to try to fix it some other way. That's a lifeboat of your own choosing, a lifeboat of your own making, in order to escape being in the place of safety where you have to wait upon God. In the place of safety, Noah had to wait for God. He had to ride this thing out and just do what God said, and God brought it out on the other side. Same thing with Rahab. Remember on the walls of Jericho, and Joshua said, you'll only be saved if you stay in your house here on the wall. And you'll only be saved if you hang the scarlet cord out of your window. And we see the cord. In our salvation, the only way we're saved is through the blood of Jesus Christ, that scarlet cord. We depend upon that the Lord has given. In the storm that we find ourselves in right now, we find that the Lord has made a place of safety, but somehow we want to still lean upon our own ingenuity, our own intellect, our own strength, to try to figure a way. We want to squirm away out of this storm. We were driving to Georgia a few years ago, and we were going through Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi, those states, and we were in the worst storm I've ever driven in. The rain was just pounding. Finally, it was going the same way we were, and I got ahead of it a little ways. It was behind us. The rain stopped, and I knew we needed to stop and get gas, and I thought that I'd gotten far enough ahead that we can stop and maybe we can take a break for a few minutes, because I was frazzled. So pulled off from off the interstate and stopped at this convenience store and gas station and began to pump gas. Maggie had gone inside for a second, and before I could even finish pumping the gas, big drops of rain were starting to fall, and went and got Maggie. I said, we've got to go. We've got to get ahead of it again. We can't stay, because otherwise we're going to be caught in it. We had to get back on the road and go again. And we were in it for a long time, for hours. And that's the way we are, though. We think we can get off the freeway. I'm in this storm. I don't know why God's allowing this storm in my life. I don't know. It's so painful. It's so hard. But somehow I want to get off the freeway, get out of this storm, and see if I can rest for a while. And we don't understand. I want you to hear this. The place of rest. God provides a place of rest in the ship.
Yes.
He provides it. You're not in the ship so that you can be frantically being tossed about. And you know you're being obedient because you're in the ship, but you're still, it's a fearful thing. No, you're in the ship because God promises you a place of safety and peace. A place of peace in the midst of that ship, in the midst of that storm. So in the storms of life, He provides a way for us. It's where you depend upon the Word of God. Say with me this morning, in the ship.
In the ship.
In the ship. It's where you depend upon the Word of God. It's where you find strength with other believers. And I know many times in the work of the Lord, some people are serving the Lord in their places of ministry, perhaps, and places where they have accepted responsibilities and they get weary and they get tired. These sailors are responsible for serving this entire ship. They're responsible. They are the ones who are, they have a responsibility in the midst of this storm. They're not supposed to leave. But they're the ones who are fearful and they're letting down the lifeboat and trying to leave. Let me tell you something right now, all over this nation, pastors, ministers, people in places of service in the church for years are fearful. Or they are sidetracked, they've given up, they've lost their fire for the Lord, and they have let down the lifeboats,
yes,
and they've gotten in.
Yes.
And they're abandoning ship. If you read the statistics of how much the church is shrinking right now in America, it's unbelievable. But the Lord promised it, didn't He?
Yes.
There'll be a great falling away.
Yes.
Well, the lifeboats are falling away from the ship. God says, stay in the ship.
Yes.
Stay in the ship. If you have a responsibility, if you're listening to me by live stream, and you have a responsibility in the church, and you're weary, God will provide a place for you to rest, but it's still in the ship.
Yes.
It's still with the people of God. It's still in your place of responsibility. He will give you refreshment. He will give you rest and strength, but only if you stay in the safe place. Not if you fall away. Staying dependent requires love for God.
Yes.
It's not works.
Yes.
You're not doing it because you're going to earn something. You're doing it because you love God.
Yes.
God promises this place of security. Whatever storm you're in today, begin to seek God like Paul did in this storm. What word do you have for me, Lord? I'm going to rest entirely upon you. I'm putting all of my hope in you, my trust in you. And in the midst of this storm, you direct me, Lord. You show me exactly what to do, what to say, how to respond to this storm, how to act in these circumstances. And I will be an obedient son or daughter of God. Remember, love motivates. Faith saves. God works the miracle.
Hallelujah.
And number three, the end time storm. I don't think that it's possible for me to preach a message anymore. Even though I try sometimes, where I just totally ignore the context of our day. I can't read a passage of scripture anymore without it speaking to me in the context of what's happening and what's coming.
That's right.
There's an entire storm, end time storm. God has a sure word, just as surely as He gave a word to Paul for the people on that ship. He has a sure word for you. I know people talk to me all the time, those in this church talk to me, and I read, I stay up on these things, and Christians, not only in America, but everywhere, but Christians in America are looking in the natural for a place of safety. They're looking for a place to hide. Now, I'm going to say some things, but I want you to understand that in the ship doesn't mean God never makes a way of escape. If God tells you to do something, to escape something, if you're in His will, you're still in the ship. When you're not in the ship is when you start calculating it and creating it by your own intellect, not having any word from God, no leading from God, no promise from God. So if you try to find yourself in the natural, a place of safety in the days to come, and God hasn't given you that place of safety, you have created something in your own strength. You have made your own lifeboat. God's word for you today is stay in the ship. Stay in the ship in the context of where we're going. Stay in the ship. Most of you in this room have thought about, maybe I need to go here or there. Maybe I need to do this or that. All of these things in preparation. And there are things that God will give you, I believe, a go ahead to do. But if you're running in fear and you're trying to calculate how you're going to protect yourself from something that is worldwide, where every person is registered, and you are trying to save yourself from something as pervasive as what we see coming, you will not succeed.
That's right.
It's a lifeboat, and there's no guarantee of safety.
That's right.
I don't know how to stress this enough. You must be in the will of God. And that is the ship.
Amen.
He says, stay in the ship. Many are seeking to escape now. They are filling the lifeboats. Filling the lifeboats. Christians, believers, even strong believers are filling the lifeboats in order to make their own preparations. Some are just seeking a self-gratifying life. They're not even thinking about the storm that's coming. They're living in a state of denial of what's coming. And they're pretending that it's not so. They don't want to hear prophecy. They don't want to hear a word about a storm. And so they've taken a lifeboat in their own direction to satisfy their own hearts. Some are forsaking their positions, as I mentioned a moment ago, as sailors, as people of responsibility. And many, many multitudes are forsaking the pure word of truth.
Yes.
What God has given us for this hour. Looking for a natural hiding place, a lifeboat. But God is saying to your generation, cut away. You notice in this scripture, Paul told them what to do and they had to stay in the ship and they cut away the lifeboats so that they wouldn't be tempted anymore. So none of the others on the ship would slip around and try to get on the boat and get away. I believe God is telling us, do business now with the Lord. And in our own hearts, cut away every lifeboat that we have saved for ourselves. If we're trying to depend on our own strength to be worthy in our salvation, cut that away. Cast yourself completely upon the grace of God for salvation. His grace is the source of strength.
Amen.
His grace is the source
that
enables us to stand. It is many times called God's riches at Christ's expense. It's also correctly defined as undeserved favor of the Lord. Undeserved, unmerited favor. But it is also defined and not heard as often as divine enablement. He not only pours out His favor, but it is unmerited divine strength, enablement, giftedness, the ability that comes from the Lord to stand. Cut away the lifeboat of self. Cut away the lifeboats that you have thought that you might cling to in an emergency. Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship. Stay dependent upon the Lord and the word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And we're not flaky here, so let me just clarify. This word that you hold in your lap, that is absolutely the word of God, inerrant word of God, and it is sufficient to save us, speak to us, keep us, direct us, and guide us.
Amen.
But in our crisis, when we don't know in a certain situation which way to go, this word will not only guide us as far as areas of truth, but God will make it come alive, and he will speak to our hearts a proceeding word from the Lord. Never
Amen.
Contradicting this word,
Amen.
But a proceeding word
Amen.
From the Lord. This is what the Lord spoke of when he said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word that is proceeding. What is God speaking to you in the storm or in concerning the storm to come? We must be dependent upon the proceeding word of the Lord. We must be also dependent upon the body of Christ. You cannot be a lone ranger and jump in the lifeboat and abandon the body of Christ. We need to be where there are other believers, for we also find and gain strength in that place.
Amen.
If you get weary serving, God will give you a place of rest still within the ship and without leaving it. On the ship, in the storm, Paul found the secret place. In the ship, in the storm, Paul found the secret place. Place of safety. And he got the proceeding word of God. And he was able to be at complete peace. And we find, we're not going to read any further, but we find that he then took bread and he told the crew and everybody, you know, you haven't had bread in 14 days or whatever. And he broke bread and he blessed it and he fed them. He was at complete, he was under the Lord. He was in control of this situation.
Yes.
He wasn't under the circumstances. He wasn't panicking in fear. He was feeding in peace. Cut away every lifeboat. Every place that you put your hope and your dependence in self must go.
Yes.
Cut away the lifeboats. Just listen. I'm about done. Cut away the lifeboats of self-dependence. Cut away the lifeboats of self-direction, self-will, self-satisfaction, self-protection, self-absorption, self-advancement, self-assertion, self-care, self-centeredness, self-conceit, self-confidence, and self-defense. I don't know if the Holy Spirit tells you to load up on arms. Load up on arms. But I know that first he tells us, just like the apostles, be ready to lay your life down. Let God be your defense. Don't depend upon the arm of flesh and how you can shoot. Depend upon the power of God. That's what you're going to need in this hour. And so there are three storms for you. Walk in your salvation by grace. Walk in every storm that breaks upon your life by grace. Stay in the ship. Hear the word of God. And the storm that is coming upon us, we're going to need all of this in great measure. The grace of God, the word of God, the will of God, power and the sustaining strength of God. Nothing of self.
No.
Nothing of self. No. Jesus said, if we seek to save our life, we'll lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, he said, will save it unto eternal life.